down, a summer winds of golden brown, leaves are flying in the air, and in the sky your tangled hair, the never worry love and life are all the same on sunbeam rides. Watch the sky as it turns blue, night is slow to rush on you, a song for all the seasons of your mind.
This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. And my name is Sharon Griffiths. The name of the show is Heresy. And that was Janice Ian from, I believe, her second album. The first one was called Janice Ian. This one was called Songs for All the Seasons of Your Mind. And that was the title song from that album. Before that, Strange Fire by the Indigo Girls. Fortunately, due to St. Mark's Sounds in the village, I was able to get a vinyl disc of this incredible band. More about them in a second. Before that, The Lady by Sandy Denny, who was a beautiful physically and a beautiful singer. Now, I know that Jim Freund is going to kill me since he is an expert on Celtic rock, but she was with at least one Celtic rock band in the late 60s, early 70s. I don't think it was Renaissance. It might have been Fairport Convention. And she died very tragically, and this was from an album called Sandy. And before that, my theme song, I'm Gonna Stand, written by Bernice Johnson Reagan and sung by the Burns Sisters. About the Indigo Girls. I was watching due to lack of anything better to watch before I got cable TV, which I got this last Monday. Now this is the insomniac's dream. I don't think I'm ever going to sleep again. But before I got that, I was sort of forced to watch In Concert, which is, to me, a pretty awful show on regular commercial television. And I tuned it in. It's on at like 11 or 12 or 1 in the morning. And they were doing a Grateful Dead concert. And to me, that lights no fires. That sets my heart to beating no faster than it usually does. I'm not a Grateful Dead fan. I know that there are people out there who are absolutely rabid about it, but not me. And so I sort of watched it for a while, and I was kind of interested because Bruce Hornsby was playing piano for them, and I really do like him an awful lot. But the concert turned out to be the same basic structure as I believe they all are, which is an interminable jam session, badly mixed, and where Jerry Garcia plays the same seven notes over and over again. Boy, am I making a lot of enemies tonight with deadheads if there are up and out there and listening to me. But I really just can't stand any of that stuff. But one of the saving graces, I'm about to, like, you know, ditch the program forever and just turn the channel over or go to sleep or something, when I hear at the commercial break that the next, after the commercial break, will be the Indigo Girls. And this is after I've sat really and listened for a very long time to this silly jam stuff and was wondering why they hadn't broken for commercial, because it had been an awfully long time, and usually late night they tend to break for commercial every 3 minutes. They break for 3 minutes of commercials, which drives me nuts, especially because they're always the same ones. But I thought, oh, okay, Indigo Girls. I've heard about these people. I had never heard their stuff, but I had heard of them, and I had bought their record based on their reputation. Jim Freund, as I say, who does Hour of the Wolf here on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7, is a big fan, and he told me about them, and I said, yeah, sure, sure. But I decided that, you know, they are women, and they do have a reputation, so I should listen. And I had bought the one album, Strange Fire. So we come back from the commercials, and there they are, and I wanted to give a listen. And they started doing a really nice version of Uncle John's Band, which is from the Working Man's Dead, I believe, album, the first and only album that I give any credence to by the Grateful Dead. And they're getting into it, and it was really great. And what happens is they cut away to a commercial before they're halfway through the song, and they let the old men stand around up there and noodle on the guitar with this terrible sound mix. Like, you could never tell who was doing a solo. All you really heard were the two drummers. And it was really boring, and I thought it was dreadfully unfair that these women get up and do a cover. I mean, they write their own songs, you know. They write fantastic lyrics. There's a lyric sheet included in Strange Fire, and they're very, very good lyrics. And so what happens, they deign to do a cover of a Grateful Dead song so that they can get on the show and get some exposure, and they just, like, flip them off after, like, a, you know, not even halfway through the song. So I was a little peeved about that. So I thought I'd get even a little by playing some of their stuff tonight. And fortunately, I was able to find the vinyl at good old St. Mark's Sounds. What I have for us to do, the editorial us or the editorial we, my new issue of my magazine, Metis, was just delivered to me from the printer the other day, and I'm very excited. So I'm feeling very editorial tonight. So what we are going to do for the next four shows, I will tell you, I've been listening to a little bit to Simon locally, who does As I Please on, he does Just As He Pleases on Saturday mornings from 7 to, I think, 8:30. And he is doing a special summer series of shows on Dante's Inferno. And he's getting up on his high horse and providing some fairly interesting and scholarly comment on a piece of literature that I have very little use for, but a lot of people have a lot of use for it. It's one of the classics, and they bang it into your head in college. Even me, and I went to a conservatory, so we were very selective about what, you know, anything outside of music that got drummed into our heads. So he is doing shows on Dante's Inferno for July and August, and as he puts it, it's going to be a hell of a summer on As I Please. And so I figured, okay, a lot of people are actually coming up, a lot of our Early Morning Radio Alliance people are coming up with theme shows for the summer, because summer is, it's not exactly a throwaway time, but it is a time to really organize yourself, and you have sort of a beginning and an end to it. It's July and August. Those are the summer shows, and I have four shows during July and August. And I decided, since I've been off the air for 2 weeks because of cosmic debris and my emotion, that I came up with a themed summer myself on heresy. And what it is going to be are fairy tales, feminist fairy tales. Now, as we should know, or as I know, having done a children's show here on BAI, and having read on that children's show literal translations from the Brothers Grimm, with all the gore and the murder and the ghosts and the scary stuff, reading that, because I cannot abide by sugarcoating and Disneyizing fairy tales, because after also having read a book called The Uses of Enchantment by Bruno Bettelheim, realizing the full significance, and also reading some Joseph Campbell and reading some Jung, realizing the significance of the oral tradition, stories, myths, fairy tales, whatever you want to call them. So I had been collecting, without really even thinking about it, some books here, right here. I'm pointing to them. I'm holding them up to the microphone. Can't you see them? I have got a book called Don't Bet on the Prince, Contemporary Feminist Fairy Tales in North America and England by edited by Jack Zipes. I have a book called Red as Blood, or Tales from the Sisters Grimmer by Tanith Lee, who is a real rock steady science fiction fantasy writer, who's been chugging them out for years and years and years. I have two books of tales by Jane Yolen, who writes beautiful contemporary stories that could have come from any older tradition. She writes in a beautiful homage to the tradition of fairy tales. And a book called The Door in the Air and Other Stories by Margaret Mahey, who's an Australian writer, that I read a review in the New York Times Review of Books of this book, and decided just from a passage that they were quoting that I have got to read this woman, and I was not disappointed. It's a thin book, hardcover, very expensive to me, but worth it. And for me to say that, since I pinch my dollar bills until George Washington cries uncle, that's something to say. So this morning we will hear, I will read and you will hear, actually I'll hear it while I read it, a story called The Princess Who Stood on Her Own Two Feet. And that piece is written by, let's get here, Jean Dessy from 1982. We will also hear a piece called Rusalka, or The Shores of Bohemia, or The Seacoast of Bohemia, by Joanna Russ, who is one of my absolute favorite writers of all time. She writes feminist science fiction and fantasy and not enough of it. And if she were within hearing range of my voice, which she's not since she teaches at the University of Washington in Seattle, I would have to scold her for that, but she is one of my absolute favorite writers. She used to work here, as a matter of fact, back in the old days, the golden days, when this place was in a church. And she dropped out of sight and teaches out there and actually has a chronic, terrible problem with her back and is in chronic pain at all times, which doesn't make her into the nicest human being, or so I've heard, but she muddles through. And I really love her anyway, it doesn't matter. And then with that, since they seem to be more or less companion pieces, they're both about people who live in the sea and the impossibility of people who live on the land to fall in love with them. There is a story by Jane Yolen called The Lady and the Merman. And I will read those two back to back. And then if we've got time, after I've played all my music, which weighs 2,015 pounds, which I lugged in, we'll probably have another sort of generic fairy tale that doesn't have, that isn't a companion to another. I've got it all planned out. So for the next four shows, this one included, we'll be hearing stuff like that. I didn't, since I had to make out my July-August folio copy in May, I did not plan ahead for this, but now that you know, if it piques your interest, you can certainly tune back in next week and the two middle Sundays in August, and if it doesn't, you know exactly what to avoid. I would like to thank, since I came in here this morning and found some correspondence, which I always welcome, I would like to thank Isabel, I think that's her name, she has sort of a creaky handwriting here, from Montclair. And I'm very familiar with Montclair, and I'm familiar with the avenue on which you live. My husband and I go walking around there very often. There's a wonderful used bookstore out there that I haunt. And this is a lovely postcard showing a sunset in, oh, a sunrise in Tennessee. My mother was from Tennessee. My mother was born and raised in Memphis, so that's really great. And the other is a letter, very beautifully typed, from Robert in Peekskill. And he sticks a little stickum, a little post-it thing on here, apologizing that the letter is so long. Never apologize to me for writing a long letter, ever, any of you folks, because it's an absolute pleasure to read them, as long as they are either typed